Mitzrayim, and sometimes Paro is called Stampa. So there's a din Paro as being Paro, the king of Egypt, and there's a din of Paro, Paro just being who he is. Okay, so the pasuk goes on to say, let's see here, Rashi, pasuk Chavtes, Rashi says, Vayidaber Hashem hu adibur atzmai ha'omu l'malo, bo daber el Paro melech Mitzrayim, el mitoch shehifsik ha'inyin, kedei liachsam, chazar ha'inyin olav l'haschil boi. So Rashi explains that there was between this Aliyah, the previous Aliyah, if you look back, the entire Aliyah, the second Aliyah, is the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. It does not discuss any story. The only thing that it discusses in the second Aliyah is Eile Roshay Desavayson. B'nei Ruvein, B'chor Yisrael, Chanoi Chavul Chashem Chamikosh, all the names of the children of Yaakov, Yichus of Klal Yisrael. And then in Shlishi, it begins the story. The story continues. So over here, the question here is what it says in the meaning of Shlishi, is this a new command that we have never learned before? Or is what it says in Shlishi sudden that's a repetition of what we learned in the beginning? So Rashi says it's repetition. Parshas, the beginning of the parasha, was Pasuk Yud Aleph. Perik va pasuk yidav bo daber el paro melech mitzrayim vishalach es bnei yisrael me'aretzo. So there was a command issued in the beginning of perik vav, go speak to paro. Now in the third aliyah, this is a very unusual thing. The third aliyah, vayidaber hashem moshe le'mor ani hashem daber el paro melech mitzrayim eis kol asher ani dover elach. This is pure repetition. There is absolutely nothing new here in this pasuk. Pure repetition after we miyaches the yichus of Klal Yisrael. It's an incredible chiddush what Rashi says. Rashi says, but who had dibur atzmoi hamur lamala bo da der el paro melech mitzrayim ella mitoch shehifse ko inyan. Because we had a break in the middle in order to enumerate, to delineate the Yichus of Klal Yisrael, so it's a review. It's pretty interesting. Okay, that's a very, because ordinarily, you know, you learn Chumash, every single thing that has to be accounted for. There's nothing that is extra. Every single word, you know, if it's extra, the Gemara makes a drasha. Why did it say this? There's no repetition here. An entire pasuk is being taught its repetition. And because we had to take a break in order to enumerate the tribes of the Jewish people and all the children. So we're going to go back. We're going to review. Very, very interesting. Okay, but that's what it says over here. And then it says, "Eis Hashem, ani Hashem, is ani Hashem. Kedai ani l'shalechecha ulekayim devar shuluchu." See the next thing over here that it's kedai, it's worthy. I to send you, and to you shall fulfill the divrei shuluchu. Rashi here is bothered. Why does it say ani Hashem? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe lemar ani Hashem. Kedai ani, I'm worthy l'shalechecha. And to fulfill divrei shelichusi, I have the power to bring about success. You're not just going on your own; you're going in my name, Ani Hashem, and to fulfill the words of my shlichus. It's interesting. Rashi begins by saying in the beginning that they never say before Ani Hashem. See, in the beginning, in the beginning of this whole story, he did say that, Ani Hashem. You see, let's analyze this a little bit. The very first pasuk of Shemos begins, Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe, Vayoymer Elov Ani Hashem. So we have here Ani Hashem. Then Hashem goes on to explain, I appear to the Avos, I have established my covenant with them to give them Eretz Yisrael. I hear what's going on in Egypt. We have here the four lashonis of Geula, Yotzeis, Mitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti. And then Hashem says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Bo daber el paro melech Mitzrayim v'yishalach es b'nei shel mi'aretzo. So if we were to combine the very first Pasuk Beis, with Pasuk Yud Aleph, you get in the beginning of Shlishi, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimar ani Hashem. That's exactly what it said. That's exactly the same exact words as in Pasuk Beis. Vayidaber Hashem. No, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. In Pasuk Vav, it's Vayidaber Elokim. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe. Vayomer lo ani Hashem. Here it's Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimar. Okay, Moshe leimar ani Hashem. Okay, so it's different. Interesting. There are two differences. Number one, in the first pasuk it says Elokim, and here it says Hashem. Elokim obviously is midas adin, and Hashem is midas harachem. Second difference, it says in pasuk beis vayomer elov, I'm speaking directly to you, Moshe. You. Here it says vayidaber Hashem Moshe leimor. I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking so that you should say over to others. Word leimar, there are two different translations for the word. We have this all over. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time. Okay, this is big stuff here in this parasha. This pasuk that we're learning today, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe, I'll give you full notes later. Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe leimar ani Hashem. Okay, so it's later. How many times does it say that pasuk in the Torah? I don't know. Many, many. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this week's parasha is the first time we have Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe leimar. It's not here. I think it's later on, or maybe not. Maybe it's the next parasha. Here it says Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe leimar, not alone, but it says Ani Hashem. What does it mean, lemar? Lemar means one of two things. Either it means lemar means saying, this is what Hashem said to Moshe, or lemar means I command you to relay the words to someone else. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, lemar. Moshe, you should go now and give over my message to someone else. Say it over. So in the beginning of the parasha, it says, Vayidaber Elof. It was clearly only meant for Moshe. Here it's meant to say over to the world. And what should you say? Ani Hashem. That was what it said in the first pasuk in the parasha. But then there's the second part. The second part, we combine it, Daber El Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, Eis Kol Asher Ni Daber Lech. We're combining over here two different things. Rashi explains what's Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem means it's you should know that I'm worthy to make the statement. And it's worthy that I have the power to make it come true. So don't challenge me. Don't challenge me. In the beginning of the Torah, the beginning of the parasha, when it says Ani Hashem, Rashi has an entirely different translation. Ani Hashem, Neman l'shalem socher toiv l'mishalchem l'fonai. V'loy l'chinam shlachticha. I didn't send you for nothing. Kim lekayim divorai shedibarti laavos harishayim. Over there, Rashi has a whole different shot. Ani Hashem neman lipora means I will provide the reward and punishment. Here, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says Ani Hashem in this context is kedai ani l'shalecha ulekayim divrei shiluchusi. We leave out over here the reward. All right. Interesting. Let's see what it says over here in the Targum. Targum Pasuk Chavteh says, "Umalel Hashem in Moshe l'Neimar, Ano Hashem, I am Hashem. Malel speak in Paru Malko d'Mitzrayim Yoskol Bano Malel Imach. Everything that I will speak with you, everything that I will tell you what to say." Okay, over here, there is no commentary on this pasuk. Is there, let's see, there is. Okay, Malel ain't have the target bait a lush dover, blush and bit a bear. Okay, fine. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Lamed. Vayoymer Moshe lifnei Hashem. Hein behold, ani aral sifasayim. I have lips that are aral. Aral means they're uncircumcised. They're not circumcised. The eich, and if my lips are called aral, aral means is an orla. What's an orla mean? It's they're covered. What is the precise translation of the word orla? Orla means, I believe there's a covering. My lips are covered, which means I can't get the words out. Ani aral sefasayim, the eich yishma elai, for how then will Paro listen to me? Rashi pasuk lamed says, I lost the place over here. Okay, we said the pasuk of test pasuk lamed. Byim a mishlof nashem. Hi hami yosham lemalah. Hein bnei yisholo yosham elai. Veshana hakos of kain kevin shivskuin kachi hashita. Kadma menachsa al harishonos. Rashi here says exactly the same thing he said in the previous pasuk. This is nothing new. This is an old statement. An old statement. And Moshe Rabbeinu just saying the same thing again. We are repeating the story to return to the original story. Now, it's interesting. What did Rashi say before? Where did this goes back to the beginning? Where Pasuk Tes. It's very interesting. Go back to Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes, it says, Vayidaber Moshe Kein Ben Yishol. Vayidaber, no, they didn't listen to Moshe, but where did Moshe make this complaint? Here it is. In Pasuk Yud Beis. In Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayidaber Moshe lifnei Hashem, lemar, hein behold, b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai. They did not listen. V'eich yishmo'eni faro, v'ani aral sefosoy. Now, if we look at the Rashi over here, here's where Rashi translates what's autumn means. It's completely closed. Gives many examples, which means that it is covered. It is sealed and covered. Now, okay, that's what the word means. Let's see the Targum first. Pasuk Lamed, Targum. V'ama Moshe Kodem Hashem, Ho Ano Yakir Mi Mamlel. I am Yakir Mamlel, and the Eitchun Yikabel Mini Paro. What did it say in the previous Pasuk? When he said that I am Aral Sifosayim, also Yakir Mimalel. And Yakir means heavy. So it would appear, and this really goes back to the previous post, the previous Aliyah, there's Machlokes between Rashi and the Targum as to the precise meaning of the word Orel. A baby that did not yet have a bris milah is called an orel. And when he gets the bris milah, we remove the orel. What is the orel called? It's machlokes. According to Rashi, the word orel, it's a covering. It is a seal. Something which encloses an object. And when a child undergoes bris milah, it is revealed. The covering is revealed. If you ever go to a, sometimes you go to a bris, certainly by Chassidish bris, they make an announcement and they call out, it's part of minug. It may sound a little bit graphic, but this is what they do. They say, Niskala Ho'atara. They make a declaration that the child's orla has been uncovered. that's been revealed. Okay, I Baruch Hashem yes, Adam Chaim Berlin, when we're in Baruch Hashem's yeshiva, and there's a big crowd there, and they have a business pretty often. Not as often as they used to, and the last like couple of years, they started doing this. Is when the Rosh Shiva, when he would call out, Miskala Ho'atara, Mayor, you there? You know about this minute, Mayor? It's a Hasidic minute. They started doing it there.
Yeah, I know about it.
So this is Miskala, there's a revelation. That fits perfectly in line with Rashi that learns the word Orla means something which is covered. When a child is born, there's a covering. And then the covering is removed, and they announce, it's been revealed. According to the Targum, that's not what it means. According to the Targum, the word Orla means there's a heaviness. There's a heaviness. There's something that's weighing dead weight. There's dead weight that is interfering with the child. It's a whole different translation. Machlekes Rashi and the Targum. And now, when it says here that Moshe Rabbeinu is complaining that he has lips that are orel, what does it mean? Either it means that his lips are heavy, they're very heavy, so it's hard for him to get the words out. His muscles are not working, and the lips don't move, so he can't get the words out. Or what it means is that his mouth is sealed. His mouth is some type of defect in his mouth where the mouth is closed. There's a very big difference if something is heavy or it's sealed when it comes to speech. When it comes to a baby, so you say there's a covering or there's a heaviness, which means it's weighing the child down, whatever that means. When it comes to lips, if you say that your lips are very heavy, so if you have enough strength, open them up. My lips are heavy. Okay, so they're heavy. So go to the gym, work out, and you'll be able to lift up your lips. But if you learn that it means that my lips are sealed, there's nothing you can do. You can go to the gym all you want. You can go for therapy on your muscles. It's not going to make a difference. If it's sealed, it's sealed. Now, by the way, if Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to speak, to communicate to other people, how was he able to communicate with Hashem? If Moshe was a kvat peh, now, by the way, when we say kvad, what does kvad mean? Kvad means heavy. The expression that we say a person who can't speak is kvad. I think it says in the pasuk. So kvad peh, I don't remember what it says. A kvad peh means heavy. That fits very much in line with the Targum that says the word orel means yikar, yakir. Yakir means heavy. Kvad also means heavy. But according to Rashi, it means that it's covered. So how do we understand kvad? Kivat peh has nothing to do with a covering. Okay, so interesting. We have in the positive word kivat peh, aral, kivad, and yakir. Different interpretations of what exactly is the issue with Moshe Rabbeinu's speech impediment. And if he wasn't able to speak to the Jewish people, how was he able to speak to Hashem? So are you going to say that he spoke to Hashem only in his mind? There was a conversation in the mind? I don't know. Maybe. Now, also, another thing to keep in mind is that the order is different. Here in Pasuk Lamed, it says, "Hein ani aral sefasayim." First, he says, "I'm aral sefasayim," and then he says, "V'ech yishma elai paro." The order is reversed. Why is the order reversed? There it says, "Hein v'ech lo shamu elai." They did not listen. V'ech Yishma'eni Faro. How will Paro listen to me? So why is the order reversed in that pasuk versus this pasuk? So the only thing that we can explain is we're going to look at drushes. The difference is what's happening in the middle. What happened in the middle was that the Shmuel when he relays the yichus of Klal Yisrael. And when you relate the yichus of Klal Yisrael, obviously, it's a game changer. It's a game changer. It's a game changer in what's happening over here. All right, we'll deal with that. Let's see what the Targum over here says. What Targum says. Let's go now. Next class. Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, "A.C. Nesaticha Elokim lefarav yarn mukhiyen v'yachas si Moshe. I made you an Elohim to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother will be your prophet." Now notice here, all of a sudden, Pharaoh is no longer the Melech Mitzrayim. Until now, Pharaoh is always called the Melech Mitzrayim, and now all of a sudden, Pharaoh is not the Melech Mitzrayim anymore, no more. Dabel Pharaoh Melech Mitzrayim, and now the next parak, Vayem Hashem Moshe, Reini Safich Elohim LePharaoh, he's still on the Melech Mitzrayim. Why not? Because now that Moshe is an Elohim LePharaoh, he's no longer a Melech. A Melech is the boss. There is no one that is above the king. Hashem says, Moshe, you are an Elohim LePharaoh. Now, whatever that means, I don't know. We have to see in the Farshim what that means. But it means that you are superior to Paro. If you are superior, Paro is no longer the Melech. Because a real Melech, no one tells what to do. You know the story of the Lubavitcher Rebbe? Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's from the previous one, number six. Riatz, the one that's buried next to the Menachem Mendel. When he came to America, he came to America on a wheelchair. He was very sick. And everyone came to him. He always says it's all the Brachest. And all of the Chassidim came to greet him at the pier when he arrived. And then they met with him and they makaw upon him. They sang a song. The next day they went to meet him privately, the Chassidim, and they said, Rebbe, it's over. Come to America. In America, there's no such thing as Chassidim and Rebbe. It's a different country. But because you are our Rebbe, we've collected money, and we're going to put you away in an assisted living facility for the rest of your life. That's what Rebbe Kevin says. We have money, we're putting you away. Enjoy your retirement. So the Rebbe said, let me think about it. He called them back the next day. This is the way Rakevitz says over the story. I can't vouch for anything. That's what he says. He called them back the next day. And he said, I thought about what you said. And my response to you is as follows. Where I come from, the Hasidim, the Rebbe talks, and the Hasidim, they listen to the Rebbe. The Rebbe gives the orders and the Hasidim follow orders. I see here in America, it's the opposite. The Hasidim are giving the Rebbe the orders. The Hasidim are telling the Rebbe, Rebbe, this is what you are going to do. You are going to go to a retirement home and just do nothing. That's not the way it goes. I'm the Rebbe, you're the Hasidim. I'm giving the orders. Nothing has changed. Just because we're on the other side of the Atlantic doesn't make any difference. We're going to rebuild Lubavitch better than it ever was. And the rest is history. Who gives the orders? Over here, until now, Paro is always called the Melech Mitzrayim. And then all of a sudden, we have a change. Nisaticha Elohim leFaro. Hashem says, Moshe, you are the Elohim of Paro. What Elohim is, I don't know. We'll see in a moment. But whatever it is, it means Paro is no longer the boss. You are the boss. You are going to give orders. And he's going to listen, whether he likes it or not. If you're giving orders and he's listening, he is no longer the Rebbe. You're the Rebbe. So he's not a Melech. Because the definition of a Melech means he gives the orders. If you are the Elohim of Paro, he's no longer the boss. And what does Elohim mean? So look at Pasuk Aleph. Nisaticha Elohim leFaro, a shofet. All of a sudden, he's subject to an incredible thing. Elohim is Ad Elohim Yavoi Devar Shneim. Elohim means accountability. A dictator is not subject to accountability. You can do whatever you want. You can commit any crime. You're not accountable. Do whatever you want. People that get to a very high position of power in government, get carried away with themselves, and they do whatever they want, and they really believe they're not accountable. They're above the law. A king, a real king, a dictatorship is taka, is Kim, the supreme leader of North Korea. Does anyone tell him what to do? His sister tells him what to do. But besides that, does anyone tell him what to do? No one tells him what to do. He's not accountable. So Paro was not accountable. But now Hashem says, you are going to be the shofet, v'roide, l'erdoisoi, b'makos, v'yisurim. It's an incredible Rashi. Is Paro is now subject to mishpat. I told you to let the people go. You don't want to let them go? You get a makah. Done. Punishment. You let listen? No? Okay. Punishment. Accountability. Sardeya. Kinim. Oroi. You're no longer the melech. You're just an ordinary citizen. You're subject to mishpat. You, Moshe, you are the Elohim lefaro. Shofet v'roide l'rdoise b'makos v'yisurim. And Aaron will be your prophet. Rashi learns, a Navi in this context does not mean a prophet that talks to Hashem. It means a speaker. It means a communicator. Aaron will be the one that will relay the message. A person that makes announcements. Words of rebuke. The utterance of lips. Niv is the utterance, the movement. Yinuv chochmav, the translates over here. Vayechal, the yisnabos, the shmuel, v'las korin. Okay, I don't know what these words are. I don't know what it's sukin. But it means a person that is the communicator. And what is it in the Targum? Targum, he says, diman nisach. Chazisi, diman nisach, I have appointed you to be a rov leparo. It doesn't say over here, rov being a shofet, it says a rov. The Aaron achuch yehe miturgim monach. Turns out that Paro had a rabbi. I'm making you his rov. Isn't this funny? Esav had a rabbi. Esav said to Yaakov, yesh li rov. I have my own rabbi. Paro had a rabbi. It says, Nesatich Elohim lefaro, tag unkelis, chazi diman soch rov. I've appointed you to be the rov. Rov here means a superior. But tongue in cheek, it means you're his rabbi. You're his rabbi. It's like I told you many times a story with Rav Moshe Scherer. He walked into the room and Cardinal O'Connor was present. And Cardinal O'Connor goes over to Rav Scherer and kisses him, hugs him and kisses him. And all the bishops, they were staring. What? The Cardinal goes and kisses a rabbi? He doesn't kiss us. He doesn't talk to us. And a rabbi, Orthodox rabbi, walks in. So he saw from the corner of his eye all the bishops were all very disturbed. Why is the cardinal kissing Rabbi Sher? So he says, what do you want from me? Rabbi Sher is my rabbi. So we have three examples. Esav Yeshli Rav, Paro had a rabbi, and Cardinal O'Connor had a rabbi as well. Three stories of people that had rabbis. Now, there appears to be here machlekes between Rashi and Unkelis as to the translation of the word Elohim. Unkelis again says a Rav. A Rav means just a powerful person. A person of power. A great person. You have to deal with him. You can't just push him away. Rashi is a whole different flavor. He disagrees. You are a judge. You may, Moshe, be a weakling. You may be, but you have something that Paro is afraid of you. If Paro doesn't follow the rules, he goes to jail. Like a person goes to court. A person, you have a criminal who's 7 feet tall, has muscles and has power, and maybe has a whole mob. He may have a whole mob out there. And he goes to court, and who's the judge? A little teeny midget, a little teeny judge, sits behind the bench, physically weak, doesn't have a loud voice. The bottom line is, on this day, when this beast goes to court, the one that's going to decide his fate is a little guy, a little person. So Moshe, it follows very well from the previous pasuk. Moshe complains to Hashem, Paro is going to listen to me. So Hashem says, yeah, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how choshev you are, Moshe. You have something that he's afraid of. And that is mishpat. If he doesn't follow the rules, he will suffer the consequences. And that automatically makes him, weakens him. He's no longer the king anymore. Okay, now, over here, I'm going to read you what it says over here, just listing over here, Diman Yisach, Efkaraticha, okay. The Turgamon. All right, nothing to find. Let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is pasuk base. Ata sidaber eis kol asher noch asher atzaveko. You will speak everything which I will command you. The Aron Achicha yidaber el paro. Aron Achicha will speak el paro. Vishilach es bnei Yisrael me'arzo. Pasuk beis Rashi. Ata sidaber pam achas el kol shilichus u'shlichus kefi sheshamat mipi. The Aron Achicha yamritzenu v'yat imenu be'ozne paro. It's a very fascinating idea that Moshe is going to say the words the best that he can to Paro. And after Moshe says the words to Paro, Aaron will then translate or will embellish or make it more understandable. So you would think, if that's the case, why don't you just let Aaron do everything from the very beginning? Since Aaron is a sweet voice, a fluent vocabulary, eloquent spokesman for the Jewish people, let Aaron do everything from beginning to A to Z. No, I want you, Moshe, you have to go meet with Paro face to face, and you, Moshe, in your kivad lashon, in your inability, even though you're very, very, you don't have, you're not able to talk, maybe you swallow the words, and you stutter, and you stammer, and you may not have the right vocabulary, it doesn't matter. You, Moshe, have to be the one to express yourself to Paro the best that you can. And it can very well be that Paro will not understand a single word that you say. It doesn't matter. You have to go speak to him. And after you finish speaking, Aaron, who knows what you're saying, he will then repeat it in a language and with a vocabulary that Paro can fully understand what you said. Obviously, what's the purpose of this? Obviously, there's some dimension that Moshe had that Aaron didn't have. There's no other way to understand it. There's some quality of Moshe Rabbeinu, how he expressed himself, his body language, his intensity, his kedusha, that had to be relayed to Paro, even if Paro did not understand what Moshe said. And to get exact details, so that Aaron will fill in. This is a very, very deep idea. There are many stories like this where people went to the government of the host country where Jews were residing in order to negotiate concerning different gezeros, different issues, different types of things. And there was a very big question, who should be the representative? And there are many stories where there were people that were very qualified to go, who had a very good vocabulary, who were elders, statesmen of the Jewish people, and they would be the natural representative of Klal Yisrael. And yet in many of these situations, the Gedolim did not want those people to go. They wanted their own people, the holiest people, to represent them.
even though the quality of their vocabulary and their expression and their communication skills are lacking, because there is a dimension in holiness that is superior and far more impactful than eloquence of speech. The holiness comes out in a unique way. Exactly what it says over here. It's an incredible insight. Atos daber pam achas kol shlichus v'shlichus kedisha shemat mipi v'ar nechi yamlitzenu. Two words. Yamlitzenu and v'yat imenu. He will give, yeah, I don't even know how to translate these words. If we had the English on the screen, we'd be able to see better. But he will give it over with more flavor. Okay, what does it say in the Targum? Targum says, at timalel yoskol da'a fak dinoch. You will speak everything that I command you. V'aron achuch imalel imparo v'shalach yosmeshel me'arei. And he will send forth the Jewish from his land. Pasuk Gimel. V'ani akshe slave paro Hashem. I will harden the heart of paro. I will increase my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Rashi Pas Gimel. Dani Aksha Me'achasher Shir. This kinegdi the Golu Lefanai Sheinachas Ruach Beumais Oyde Elilim. Lo Se Slave Lo Sholem Lo Shuv Toivli Sheyiska Shelibo Leman Harbois Ve'Oyser Saitum V'Sakiru Eskivurasi. Okay, so this Rashi is a major, major hashkafic Rashi. You know, in the whole Torah, how many Rashis are there that present a hashkafa that really is very heavy? This Rashi tops, comes to the very, very top of the list. This is the age-old question. How can Hashem take away from a human being free will? The age-old question. How was Hashem permitted to harden the heart of Paro for the first five makos? Rashi, usually he shies away from this, from trying to answer these type of questions. Things that we don't understand, we don't really understand. But Rashi here did not shy away. Rashi over here said a lot. And what he said is very powerful. And he says one more time, Me'achar, you have to take into account history. This man has already, Paro has already, Shehir Shia, he has acted wickedly. The Hisris, Kinegdi, what does it mean, the Hisris? I don't know, it means like reject. He has rejected me. When Moshe came to Paro, he said, Paro said, Mi Hashem, who is this guy? I don't know who he is. I never heard of him. You know who he is. He has already acted in a wicked way and already has rejected me. That's number one. Number two, the goloi lefonai she'ein nachas ruach b'umois oivdei elilim lo se slave sholem lo shuv. Now, I don't know, the words here obviously need a lot of precision to translate correctly what it really means, but Hashem says, I know deep down in what's going on in their heart. They will never, ever do teshuva. Really, don't we have a halacha that Hashem doesn't look into the future? Ba'asher hu sham, by Yishmael, that even though Yishmael would be wicked in the future, right now, he's a child, he did not do anything. We don't always say that. Ben soyer umayer, we don't say that. And we don't say that over here, we're not saying that either. We're saying he has already acted wickedly. He has forfeited the rights that we should give him a chance. And being that I know what's going to come out from him, let's use him as a tool in order to increase open, blatant miracles in this world. To increase signs and to recognize my power. The Kachem Midasa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Puranus Al Umayis Oivdek Elilim, Hashem brings punishment upon the nations of the world. Kidei, She Yishnu Yisrael V'Yirahu, they should listen and be afraid. Shenemar, Hikarti Goyim Nashamu Pinoisam. I don't know what that pasuk is referring to. Amarti Gizmo Pesukim Al Tira Oisi Tikhu Musar V'Avu Bikain V'Chomesh Makos V'Shoynos Lo'Nemar V'Yechazek Hashem Esleip Elu V'Yechazek Leipar. So first of all, I made a mistake. Hashem hardened Paro's heart the last five makos. It wasn't even necessary to do so the first five makos. So therefore, when it says here in this pasuk, I will harden, is referring to the last five makos. Let's finish up. Targum on this pasuk says, Gimel v'ano akshe yos libo de paro ve'aske yos os vosai v'yos mofsai ba'aro de mitzrayim. And there is no comment over here. Okay, so this is what we learned today. We learned a few little things. All right, Rabbi Yisrael, thank you very much for coming. Have a good night. Appreciate you all come to learn.
Good night, everybody.
Rabbi Levine, why the switch from arouse to forsayim to kaved peh? Why a different lotion?
Okay, so in this parasha, it says only arouse to forsayim.
Yes.
Dark in Parsha Shemos is where it says Kivad Peh.
Yes.
It's different, right? Absolutely. So Kivad, I think I vaguely remember that one refers to a physical impediment and one refers to a lack of eloquence. Kivad Peh or Kivad Aral Sifasayim means words. I don't have the right words. I don't have the right, you go to a motivational speaker. We all go, they have all these signs in the newspaper. This person who speaks at these events, all these gatherings, people, not necessarily the biggest Talmidei Chachamim, but not, these are people who are inspirational speakers. They know, I tell you a story, they know how to give over. To inspire you with koyach adibo, and they're good people, the yireh shemayim, the talmidei chachamim. But then there are people that are on a much higher level. They're outstanding talmidei chachamim, people that are devoted, the moiser nefesh for Hashem for Klal Yisrael. But they're not necessarily. We all know they can't speak publicly. They can't. It doesn't. If they were to speak publicly, no one listens to a word. They you can't even hear what they're saying. It totally took. So Kvad Peh possibly means, this swings in my head from a while ago. Kvad Peh means I have a physical impairment. I cannot get through. I need a speech therapist. Aral Sifasayim, lips. Is that referring necessarily to
how to persuade someone. There are people who have the ability, they know what to say. They know how to
turn you on. They know how to get you
through. I mean, certain eloquence, shocks on them. So shocks on them, they know what to say. They convince people to get out. They convince people to go out. And they convince people to get out. And other people, someone else, you see him in the shelf, they couldn't even get you on a date. They don't know what to say.
Rabbi Levine, yes. When he uses the term arouse of Fosayim, who's Moshe talking to about? Talking about B'nai Yisrael, Water Paro, and Kaved Peh, who's he talking to? Yeah, but in reference to what? In other words, Hashem told him, go speak to B'nai Yisrael.
No, maybe that was before. He said, Hashem is telling Moshe to go now speak to Paro. Bo daber, go speak to Paro. Daber el Paro, Melech Mitzrayim. Go to Paro. And Moshe says, Vayyobe Moshe lefne Hashem hein ani aral sefosayim. Ve'ech yishva Eli Paro. So the Aral Sifasayim refers to in his ability to speak to Paro, he's Aral Sifasayim. Sue is back in Pasuk Yud Beis. It's very clear. Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu Eloi. They did not listen to me. And now, so we already mentioned that is an impediment. We already mentioned.
Didn't hear you.
He's speaking over here to Klal Yisrael. He's a Raul Sifasayim relative to speaking to Paro.
Okay.
How are you, Mr. Glatter?
Baruch Hashem, getting along. Okay. Thank you very much.
Honor when you come to the Shia. All right, have a good night.
Good night.
All the best. Be well. Be well.
Ephraim.
Yeah.
So I get a call when I get home from a company in St. Louis, Fields Recovery.
Okay.
What's your problem? They'll send me a form, etc. I do a Google. A lot of people complain about them.
So don't use them.
Right. Well, use a different one.
Before.
Yeah.
Stay away.
I'll find a different company, right? Right? They get you and they charge you $1,000.
Once they have it in their possession, they'll go and who knows what they'll do.
Right. All right.
There are people out there. You have to look. There are people out there. There's a guy here, Schmidman. He's blown years.
Yeah.
He did this. He was very good. He had equipment.
Yeah.
People would bring him stuff and he would be very successful. He knew what to do. And he didn't charge so much. He did
what happened?
He moved. Now he lives in Lakewood. I gave him a hard time. And he told me basically the chances of getting it back are very, very small, but he'll try. And I spoke to him once in a while. I see him, I talk to him. He says, yeah, he has it still. He tried, it didn't work. He has to get different equipment. Maybe he'll still be able to do it one day. So in the meantime, he has it. Tell me he has it. And maybe one day he'll get it. I don't even know what's on there anymore. All right, I'm going to run.
All right. Take care. Good night.
Don't you don't need someone to rip you off. Okay, Zion.